mention for folks that may not know what we're talking about at all.
All right. Well, first of all, thanks for having us on. Sedition Books started, I believe it was 2006. Its first location was on Washington Avenue. And there was an arson at that location, and the place burned down. It went through several locations. It was on Old Spanish Trail for a while. And its last location was the one on Richmond Avenue. We were there for over 3 years. And Sedition Books has always been an anarchist library, bookstore, and community space that was open for pretty much anybody to come in and be as involved as they wanted to be and make the space what they wanted it to be. And it closed the Richmond location. You know, we made the decision sort of quietly and abruptly. We decided that being in Montrose was not exactly where we wanted to be, and the rent was really high, and being a bookstore primarily was not really paying the bills, and we were struggling too much. And the events that we wanted to do, we just didn't have the space for it. The space was too small, and being a retail store was not exactly what we wanted to be doing anymore. So we decided to just close it up, save some money, and look for a bigger space where we could do bigger events and be more focused on that instead of being so focused on being a retail store.
And in terms of, I know you mentioned that you wanted to get out of the Montrose. Why specifically did you want to get out of Montrose? And also, walk me through the steps in terms of your decision to go to Houston's East End.
Okay, well, getting out of Montrose, first of all, I think the decision to, first of all, move to Montrose, I wasn't around at that time, but I think that Montrose has a really strong history of activism, of, you know, people fighting for queer rights. And, you know, there was a time in Montrose where cops wouldn't even really go there because they didn't really feel safe because they weren't welcome. That's not how Montrose really is anymore. Montrose has changed a whole lot. You know, it's a classic case of gentrification. And not only did that make me feel uncomfortable, I almost felt like sedition was part of that, and that at least it looked like that to a lot of people. And, you know, Montrose, it's just getting more and more gentrified, and it's just really fancy. And it just didn't feel like the neighborhood that we wanted to do that type of project.
And so talk about the new space and talk about the new name. There's also a name change coming with the new space. You're no longer Sedition.
That's right. Thank you for bringing that up. So, yeah, Sedition Books definitely has a really strong connotation to it in this town. You know, there's people that think that, you know, Sedition Books means that it's a vegan straight edge event, and if I've ever drank in my life, I'm not welcome there. Or there's the sense that Sedition's a bunch of young kids that don't necessarily know what they're doing. There's just a lot of negativity associated with the name Sedition. And, you know, the collective was always constantly changing, and it really takes the shape of whoever's active in it at any given time. So even at a time during Sedition's history when you were allowed to drink in the space and everybody in the collective was okay with drinking and okay with eating meat, there was still a sense from a lot of people that it's just a bunch of closed-minded, vegan, straight-edge kids, and I'm not welcome there and don't really want to go there. And that's not really the reputation we want. It's not really the kind of atmosphere we want to create. We want to create a really open atmosphere where all sorts of people feel comfortable coming to and, you know, having meetings or setting up their own events or coming to events that we set up or whatever's going on. We just want a comfortable space. You know, we like Sedition Books. It has the word books in the title. It was a bookstore, and it felt like that when you would walk in. You know, the new name, Eastside Social Center, it's a social center, and that's how we want it to feel when you walk in. Lots of couches, books, a comfortable place where you can hang out, you can have meetings, you could essentially do whatever you want and make the space your own. And we just really want to be conscious about creating a comfortable atmosphere for everybody. And I think having the term social center in the name instead of books sort of is indicative of that.
Yeah, I think, I don't know that we mentioned exactly where it's going to be. We talked about the East End, but the new location is on Canal near Lockwood, right?
Right. It's on Canal Street near Lockwood. The address is 4202 Canal. There's actually a record store there right now called Vinyl Junkie. Some of you may have been there. We're taking over Vinyl Junkie's space. They're going to move into a new space in the same neighborhood. I'm not sure of the address yet. But the East Side Social Center is going to be at 4202 Canal Street.
Yeah, I guess I have a question for both of y'all, since you're, I guess, both active in the formation of a newer collective. How and what kind of space are we trying to create here? You know, I think that first of all, kind of touching a little bit on the point you brought up, Adam, is that we're going to be in a whole new community now, which is a predominantly Latino working class community. And how are those folks going to get, you know, involved into the what's going on so that it doesn't become separate from their neighbors, their new neighbors? And then what's being done to open the space up to not just young folks, but, you know, older activists or older folks or predominantly Spanish-speaking, you know, Afro-American, you know, the community as well. Because in that neighborhood, you know, it really is a whole lot different than the Montrose.
Yep.
And these are issues that I think lie ahead, so maybe you could talk a little bit, you know, about how those issues are being addressed.
I think essentially at this stage, the plan is to reach out to people in the neighborhood. The way I kind of think about it is just kind of going out and flyering or postering or whatever, talking to people as we see them so they know the space is there and that it's there for them. And, you know, we're also planning on having Spanish-speaking events, Spanish movie night once a month at the very least, community potlucks where everybody's welcome. And also, I think there's been talk of somebody being a translator at events so that if you don't speak English, you can still attend, or, you know, flyers being translated into Spanish. So that's definitely something we've been discussing. I think what that's going to look like is going to depend a lot on what happens in the first month. We have some ideas about what to do or how to make that work, but I think getting into the neighborhood and getting to know people is going to shape how we take our next steps, because we want them to be a part of it. That's their neighborhood. It's their, it's the space that's there for them. And we certainly don't want to, you know, come in and monopolize the area and turn it into something it shouldn't be.
Yeah, I would just add that, you know, I think, like, one of the goals is to diversify events. Like, you know, Sedition had lots of movies, and we had potlucks, and we would have some speakers here and there. You know, I think we'd like to see just more interesting, maybe more subversive, maybe more enticing events that attract anybody besides, you know, the young radical anarchist crowd who's going to come to the space no matter what. You know, we talked about, you know, not needing to appeal to anarchists. We don't need to have a, like, there's a lot of talk about the name. What's it going to be called? We need to be called, like, the Black Something, because that's what lots of anarchist spaces are called. You can't keep anarchists away from this kind of space. Who we want to appeal to, who we want to come to this space, is anybody else and everybody else. So I think just, you know, diversifying events and having stuff that's interesting for people will bring people into this space. And it doesn't have to come from the collective that is getting this place started. Anybody who has an idea for what kind of events they would like to see at this space could either, you know, get involved and make it happen themselves or talk to us about it, email the collective, and just let us know what type of stuff would make you and your community want to come to a space like this.
And speaking of diversifying events, you have an event. Your kickoff event is happening on May Day, a day that is historically celebrated as Workers' Day in most of the rest of the world. Not so much here in the United States, although recently we've seen some wonderful activity on May Day, primarily with the immigrant communities and so forth. So why don't you go ahead and talk about how your new space in the East End is celebrating May Day and celebrating your new space.
All right. So, you know, there has been a call from the Occupy movement and various other groups and people for a general strike throughout the United States this May Day. So we thought, what better way to celebrate the general strike than have a dance party at our brand new space? We're moving in that day. It's going to be a big empty space. We're probably not going to have a whole lot of stuff in there yet. But we're going to have a sound system, and we're going to have drinks, and we're going to have lots of people, and we're going to have lots of fun. No work, no school, no housework, no banking, only dancing.
Now, is there a website set up yet? Or how can folks contact, you know, the collective if they either want to, I guess you're looking for volunteers, or if they have ideas for events? And then before we run out of time, what are the needs of the space? I know that there's not a huge bank account, so I'm sure that, you know, maybe there are folks out there listening that could in some way help get this off the ground.
Right. Yeah, we're definitely looking for involvement of all levels and all sorts. We're sort of still in the process of getting a website set up and all the web stuff. You'll definitely be seeing it soon. For right now, the easiest way to get with us is to go either through the old Sedition Books website or the Sedition Books Facebook group. The website is seditionbooks.org, or you could just look up Sedition Books on Facebook. And just leaving a comment on there or sending a message through there or signing up for the email list on the website is a good way to, you know, keep yourself inside the loop of what's going on right now. Soon, there will be new websites that are called Eastside Social Center and not Sedition Books. I also like to mention that the name Sedition Books will live on as the name of the library inside Eastside Social Center.
And you touched upon one more thing, and that was the Occupy movement calling for the general strike. Obviously, you're renting this space, but the Occupy movement has really taken over a lot of spaces and done amazing things in several communities across the United States. Are you at all collaborating with the Occupy movement here in Houston?
Until this point, we haven't. I've talked to a couple of people who were involved with Occupy Houston. I've got a lot of mixed feelings about it. I have a lot of criticisms of it, but, you know, I think that it would be beneficial for everybody to collaborate and work together, at least get some sort of dialogue going. I think anybody from Occupy, you know, get with us, and, you know, I think we'd be happy to work with y'all. Yeah.
Well, it seems like, too, you know, having a space like that available, which sometimes you don't realize how much you relied on something until it's gone. And, I mean, we say that here all the time about the station, even though we have criticisms of it. And even though this, you know, Sedition as we knew it maybe wasn't perfect, but it was a space, and a lot of people utilized it for a lot of different reasons. But now that it's being reborn, so to speak, reorganized, you know, it seems that there's no reason why maybe folks involved in any number of movements, you know, to utilize the space and start to develop those ties to it that weren't, I mean, that weren't available from, you know, for the last several months.
Yeah, I think it's a really important point. And, like, yeah, I really want to stress that, yeah, we're opening this space, and I do think it's an important project, but it's a space. a space is never going to destroy capitalism. It's the people fighting that really make the difference. It's the people involved. And, you know, a space can be a great resource. And, you know, we want to see all of you come use the space. There's so many ways to use it. If your group needs a place to have a meeting, come use this resource. If you want to have some sort of event, just like, you know, it's a great place to meet other people. I'd ideally like to see, you know, new groups and collectives or anything pop up just from people who meet each other at these sorts of spaces.
So, real quick, I guess, touching on the needs. Are there any pressing needs that we can ask folks to help with, or where are we at with everything?
Yeah, we need just about everything. Most of all, above everything else, we need energy. We need volunteers. We need people to come and just be involved on any level.
How about that moving day? Trucks, people?
Moving is not so necessary. We don't really have a whole lot of stuff. I think we'll be all right with that. But, you know, computers is a big thing. Bookshelves, we always need. Couches, money.
I think we also need help with the
folding
website.
Chairs.
Folding chairs, all of them.
Tech stuff. You know, somebody who's good at like web design or setting up websites. I think we could use a hand with that.
Yes. Also, imagery and logos. We need a sign made for the front. You know, we have people working on stuff, but we're always open to new ideas. If you have an idea for a cool font to use, or, you know, you want to like draw something up that you think would be a cool logo or design for East Side Social Center, that would be great. It's at 4202 Canal Street. May 1st is our first day. Dance party, 8 p.m. all night. Drinks. Come hang out.
And right. Thank you so much for coming in and filling in. I'm looking forward to that dance party. And right now, actually, another struggle that's ongoing in Houston has to do with the feeding ordinance that was passed this past week. And as we covered on last week's show, there's an injunction and several other groundswelling efforts to squash this thing. We have Nick Cooper on the phone. Nick, are you there?
Yeah, how's it going?
It's going. Can you go ahead and give us the latest in terms of Food Not Bombs and the struggle to make sure that more than five people can get together and share food in the city of Houston?
Yeah, well, we lost badly. You know, we lost the vote, and now we're going to have to do a lot to make up for that. It takes a lot of organizing to try to turn around this law. It was a very hastily conceived law. It was it's an emergency law. They passed an emergency law, and they never actually told anybody what the emergency was. So it was some kind of emergency. They're not really specifying what. But this law passed, and it was done so hastily that they were like passing verbal amendments to the bill like in the last few minutes before it passed. And I could guarantee that a lot of people who are listening today and a lot of our city council members who voted on it don't actually know what is in the bill because, like I said, it was kind of hastily done. So if you listen to the mayor or if you listen to ABC on television, they got it wrong again and again, saying this would only affect organizations that are feeding, sharing food on somebody else's private property. They tried to confuse it. No, you read the law and you see that it's actually anybody on public property. So you have to have permission from somebody, it doesn't say who yet, to be serving food, sharing food on public property. So, of course, most of the homeless in Houston are under underpasses on the side of the road. They're going to be in parks. You know, that's all public property. So if you were saying, if you're driving around looking for some hungry people to feed and there was five people and you pulled up, you don't have any time to get prior written permission. You just pull over where you see some folks. Well, after July 1st, if we don't stop this law, that's going to be a crime.
And what will be the penalty associated with that? And also, what's Food Not Bombs? I mean, and other organizations, obviously now you have the petition going on to try to fight this thing. There's the legal battle under First Amendment grievances. What else is the plan if this thing kicks into effect on July 1st? Or haven't you thought that far ahead because we're going to beat it?
Well, yeah, I mean, the petition effort is being formed by a PAC, and so you can always, you know, get updates and information about that. Everything is kind of coordinated through the Houston Keep Sharing Free page right now until the PAC is up and running, and so Houston Keep Sharing Free on Facebook is a great place to get up to date on everything. And the Food Not Bombs page on Facebook, Houston Food Not Bombs, also has some info. So that'll keep people up to date. But, yeah, there's going to be a lot of different little things, and we can't, you know, say everything that folks are going to do. But I would say probably the main ones are going to be a charter amendment. So we're going to try to have, you know, a charter against this terrible law. We're also going to have an effort just to repeal the law. You know, we could just get city council members to overturn their vote, which would ultimately be simpler. It wouldn't cost quite as much and be so complicated. And there's going to be all kinds of legal battles, because there's going to be a legal battle against the law saying it's unconstitutional. But every step of the way, the mayor is likely to fight back and say, well, I'm not going to put it on the ballot because your petitions aren't valid. Oh, and we'll put it on the ballot, but we're going to change the wording to this. And, oh, well, they voted for it and it won, but we're still not going to do it. You know, I mean, every single step it takes a lawsuit to get it through. And that's what we learned in the red light camera struggle, where it's like the people voted for it, but they're not going to get it unless, you know, you go through all these complicated legal processes. So, you know, it's a big waste of time, and all this effort going into nothing that's helping any homeless people. It's all going just to keep the status quo, which was a terrible status quo, right? We're not even doing anything extra to help homeless people. All we're doing is criminalizing the people who are already doing it. So, I mean, it's just such a waste of time. I can't believe that, you know, the mayor, who was so supported by people over at KPFT, you know, is behind such a misguided and ill-informed action. You know, it's just whatever they're trying to achieve, however cynical their goals are, and I imagine they're pretty cynical. I imagine they have to do with just moving the homeless out of downtown or near the new stadium or whatever. You know, there are better ways to achieve it than this. This is going to cause, I mean, you just ask homeless people what will happen if these volunteer groups aren't out here just, you know, getting out food to you. They say, I would turn to stealing, I would turn to begging for money, I would turn to digging and dumpsters. You know, that's what we're going to end up promoting here.
And lastly, this obviously was passed as an emergency amendment or an emergency ordinance. Has the mayor or has city council come forth with any sort of data, statistics as far as what the emergency was, or even any antidotes, or are they still mum on that?
Well, it's really an interesting kind of maneuver that they pulled, if you find such ugly things to be interesting. At first, they came into city council members and had somebody come in and say, oh, there's an epidemic of people getting food poisoning from these uncoordinated groups, and we need to pass this right away. And everyone's like, okay, this is important, right? But there was no data presented, and they kept kind of talking about this the first week. There's all this food poisoning from these uncoordinated groups. So I was curious, so I took around my voice recorder and just recorded folks. Where does food poisoning occur? Does it occur in the shelters with these uncoordinated groups? Like, you know, and everyone came back with the shelters. And so then I wondered, well, does the mayor have some study that contradicts this? So we asked her over and over again, where are these studies you're referring to? And she said, oh, there's insufficient data. You know, and it's like, do you have anything? No, it's insufficient data. Then the next thing, it was all about trash. So there's all this money being spent on cleaning up trash for the homeless, and if we just had it better coordinated, you know, this whole explanation. Oh, okay, so is there any study on what percentage of the trash is being generated by these homeless organizations in these areas? No studies. Okay, so it's not about trash. What is it about? And then the final draft of the bill comes out, and it's just, you know, you have to have permission to serve anywhere from the city. And then it becomes more a bill about, you know, we just have to give you permission. Anyone has to have permission to be doing something on public space. So that's what the bill is about. It's no longer pretending to be about trash or pretending to be about food poisoning. And now it's just clear, like, we just want everyone who shares food anywhere to have prior written permission, as if that's possible. The result is that all kinds of folks won't be able to serve. But, I mean, you know, pretending that the cover stories, you know, essentially these ideas, food poisoning, trash, or what this law is about, I think is just going down the wrong path, because it's never been a genuine effort from the beginning to work on any of those things. It's always just been subterfuge for what they're really going after, which apparently is We just want to have everyone have written permission. So that basically it just makes it easier for the police to go up to any group anywhere. And the first thing now that they can ask them would be, where's your written permission? And if they don't have it, bam, they're instantly criminalized.
Wow. Okay, Nick. Well, thank you so much for that update. We're going to continue to fight to cover the struggle against this latest ordinance. But before we sign off, there are several events that you can plug into in this upcoming week on our community calendar. First off, tomorrow, come and fight alongside Houston janitors with the Service Employees International Union as they struggle to secure a better contract and a better future for themselves and their families. The convention kicks off at 2 p.m. at the IBEW Hall, located at 1475 North Loop West, to be followed by a rally at the intersection of Westheimer and Post Oak at 4.
Yeah, and besides the May 1st event at 4202 Canal Street at the new Eastside Social Center, Tuesday, a really important event, I think, is the demonstration that's going to be out in front of the main post office. I believe that starts at 4 o'clock. That's Tuesday, tax day. So, you know, folks that really want to address the issue, who gets taxed in this country, who isn't, the whole wealth question. There are a whole coalition of organizations that are getting involved in that, in this demonstration this Tuesday in front of the main post office.
At 401 Franklin.
Yeah.
Also, on Sunday, Occupy Houston's weekly General Assembly meeting is going to kick off at 7 p.m. at the Houston Public Library, to be followed at 7:30 by Food Not Bombs, serving healthy and delicious vegan food for free. Bring some to share if you can, along with your family, friends, and ideas. And on Friday, April 20th, there's going to be a rally at Tranquility Park in support of marijuana legalization. It starts at 11:30 at Tranquility Park, followed by a vegetarian potluck at 1 p.m. Bring posters and make your voices heard. Lastly, a statewide march on the Texas Capitol against the war on women is going to take place Saturday, April 28th from 4 to 6 p.m. While conservative attacks against women are very in vogue nationally, back in March, Governor Rick Perry set the bar particularly high for conservative women haters when Texas became the first state to lose its federally funded women's health program, based on Perry's refusal to comply with the federal law prohibiting discrimination against the Medicare-funded Planned Parenthood program. 8 Planned Parenthood chapters, including the one here in Houston, are directly challenging the Lone Star governor by filing suit. Well, that does it for another week here at the Houston Indie Media Show. We'd like to thank our guests this evening, as well as everyone who contributed to tonight's broadcast. Special shout out to Courtney, the board op for the Revolution, and also Angela, who is not in the studio with us tonight because of her upcoming nuptials this weekend in San Antonio. Congratulations, Angela. I'm Rachel, signing off, reminding everyone out there, if you like what you hear, please be sure to visit us at kpft.org and click that tip jar. Also, don't hate the media, be the media. Peace.
Meet Gloria Rolando, one of Cuba's leading documentary filmmakers, when she comes to town for a special appearance at the Museum of Fine Arts Houston. On Sunday, April 1st at 5 p.m., Ms. Rolando presents her documentary, 1912, Breaking the Silence, the first part of a trilogy addressing Cuba's Afro-Cuban heritage. For details, visit www.mfah.org/films.